Good morning, everybody. Good morning. This morning, I have a heavy heart. There are so many people out there right now, guys, that are really going through some horrible things. I mean, people are becoming homeless in a very serious way today. You know, Trump does not have mercy upon the poor. And it's affecting society. The media does not tell people this. But anybody that's a real church is going to see it, you know. Because you see the tides that are changing. The people out there that are hurting. If you're on social media at all, you should see it. Because I'm not on Facebook as far as like a profile and sharing things or anything like that. But I do have a Facebook just so I can sell things and research, you know, and show you guys in the news, yada, yada. But I'm noticing a trend of people asking for help. And I've been responding, but I'm noticing some of them are not good people. What I mean is, I had this woman one time say, our family's starving. Our family, I think I told you guys about this the last time. They said, our family's starving. We have no food. And this is back when I had the truck. And so I sent her a private message and I said, because this is in one of the groups of our local town, you know, local region, let me just say region. And I said, give me your address, I'll bring you some food. You know, so I loaded up that truck, let me tell you, toilet paper. And, you know, because I really believe she kept, you know, writing all this stuff and telling me all this stuff they've been going through and whatnot. And then when I got there, I realized, oh, Lord, what have I done? Not that I don't want to help people. You know, that's not what I'm saying. But these people look like they're you know, I don't know how to explain it, except they're in a cycle. They'll never come out because of the way they are type of deal. It's not like the way she presented it to me is you're down on luck, but you're trying. And that's people we want to help. I mean, not that we're not to help all people, but, you know, some people lie just because they don't want to work or whatever, which we're not the judge. I'm not saying that. But I'm noticing a trend of liars as well. In other words, be careful. So I still gave it to them. And, you know, my thought was, hey, I'm not Jesus. I'm being Jesus. I'm just giving them a truckload of food. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I left and kind of just wiped my dust off my feet. You know what I mean? Like I'm probably not going to help you again type of deal because you lied to me. Well, then we had another situation yesterday. A woman on Facebook telling everybody she needs dishes. They just moved to town. Her and her husband, they have no dishes. So, you know, I text her and I'm like, hey, you know, we got plenty of dishes, you know, but you'll have to come get it. We don't, you know, you'll have to come. Oh, yes, I will. I'll be there tomorrow. So then as she begins talking, you know, I realize this woman has lied to me. You know, her situation was totally different than the way she presented on there, you know. So it's like, oh, you hate to be caught up in a bunch of lies either, because we know that God is judging people. And if you're a liar and things like this, you're in judgment right now, you know. I don't know. It just makes it really hard on the church, you know. So I kind of backed off from her because she was lying to me. But her story is, if it's correct, because it's not what she told the public, is that, you know, she just moved here from out of state. Her husband left her. She has her grandson. And so then at first in the conversation, I'm thinking it's just her and her grandson. And, you know, my heart's going out to her. But then she changes that story again. And now she's with her son. You know, so I'm thinking it's his kid. She's with her son and kid. And then they're living with the in-laws, her other son-in-law and whatnot, and they got to move by this weekend. So basically, she's homeless, has nowhere to go with her son and grandson, and all this. I said, woman, you are on Facebook asking people for material things when you don't even have a place to take it to. I mean, you should go in there and tell people, I am homeless and I need somewhere to go. And be honest with people. See, that's what turns us off. It's not that you're hurting that's turning us off, because we all want to help people. But if you're not honest, I mean, who wants to help people that's going to lie to you like that? You know what I mean? So I just backed off her because she's a liar. But anyways, there is a lot of people out there right now that's homeless, and it's so sad. I mean, all across this country, they're just, people are going through so much stuff. Me and Dennis this morning, we prayed. You know, we prayed for all of you guys. We prayed for the church, and I don't know. It's just, I feel this heaviness because it's going to get worse, guys. It's not going to get better, and that's what I was telling Dennis, see. Right now, Trump, if you look at what he did in the first presidency, and I'm so thankful that really I have been with him for 10 years, because I have the fresh memory of everything that still happened. You know what I mean? I'm not coming in this late in the game. I've been with this from the beginning. And this is the very same thing he did in the beginning. His job with the beast is to keep all the people at bay. Remember when the COVID rolled out, and you know, he kept telling, it's, we know you guys got to get back to work. I mean, just give us another week. Just, you know, we're really working on it. We know. I mean, we've got to have you guys working. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So he kept everybody going because they kept believing what he was saying. And that lasted the entire last year he was president. And then, as soon as the jab was rolled out, and then we would start seeing deaths after that, he bows out. He's not president anymore. When all the people start dying, now it's Biden. And his people, though, the Republicans, you know, they ended up partnering with the Democrats and helped them pass every UN law, every law that pertains to the end time beast, New World Order, the Republicans were right in on it. But Trump was a good guy because he was not the president. Okay? So now he's back in and he's keeping everybody at bay again about the economy. Oh, it's doing so great. I mean, even yesterday, he did a whole, rally, which I didn't show you guys last night because we have so much other stuff we're talking about. But he was off doing some rally in Pennsylvania where he was talking about what a great economy we have. And so he is being used by the beast while they are mowing everything down, putting everything in motion, passing laws. He even said in a meeting the other day when he was with all of the big corporate guys, you know, he said, we're having to deregulate. There you go. We are having to deregulate everything. So in order for them to have this dystopian world that they are creating across the globe, all these countries are having to deregulate so that they can, you know, be invasive when they come to your home. They can use their drones and spy on you, you know, all that stuff in our old world from 2019 and beyond, in the United States at least, you know, a lot of that stuff was regulated and it kept them at bay, you know. But now they are deregulating and doing it to where they can just be free willy. And the Supreme Court actually just gave the president more powers where he can fire anybody he wants type of deal. I mean, the whole thing is just crazy. But I say all that to say I have a scripture to read you this morning. You know, in spite of it all, with all of the chaos and the terrible things that we see out there, we have promises. The church, you know, and I pray to God that when people watch me on the news, that they understand we're there as watchmen. It's not that we're going to accept the fear that this brings, but that we are wiser for knowing it. You know, like for instance, it come out in the news this week that they have now started a quaddemic. And I was like, what in the world is a quaddemic? It's the flu, the COVID, RSV, and norovirus. And so it's like, well, they're saying they got an outbreak of all these different respiratory viruses that are all hitting at the same time. And then we come to find out it's because they're rolling out 6G. So there you have it. I mean, what happened last time when they rolled out 5G? Which was when? Back in 2020. By who? President Trump. So what happened? They rolled it out globally. What happened? People died globally. So now we got 6G. We also discovered that 6G is for AI. So the sensors in AI are going to be increased. So if you could just word it like this, it's the tightening of the grid. The tightening, like, not Lucifer, but Leviathan, the tail, squeezing. You know, because the mesh is being activated. Kind of like his golden dome he talked about, you know, where all the data nodes are going to be alive. So AI will be alive. It will be controlling everything. 2026 is the game changer. That's why I'm telling everybody, if you've never done a 40-day fast, I highly encourage everybody, you need to sign up. You need to be a part of this 40-day. We need to hear God right now. You know, it's going to be, the Lord already told us this, you know, that it's going to be the year of transition. So some people may be transitioned to glory. I mean, you just don't know, you know. But we got to get in position. Okay, now, if you would turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, we're going to talk about a couple of stories this morning. As we're working in our spiritual warfare series. And also, I put it on our band this morning, asking everybody, what would y'all think if we went to 5 p.m., you know, on church instead of 7:30 in the morning? Because this Sunday, we have our daughter who is coming in with the grandkids on Saturday. They was going to come in Friday and leave Saturday night. We could have done church the same on Sunday, but he had a party, a birthday party slumber party deal, so he was leaving Saturday morning, my grandson. So we was going to make him leave at 7 in the morning before we did church, but it's going to be 19 degrees. There may be ice on the road, so we was like, I'm sure the church will understand, you know, if we move it to 5. And plus, if we do it at 5, we can have a lot more people because we have people from all over the world. And, you know, 7:30 is too early for Canada, you know. So I'm asking everybody what they think. So far, it looks like everybody's like, yeah, let's move it to 5. And that way we can have, you know, our whole church there. So that's probably what we end up doing on Sundays. And then what else was it? I guess that's it. All right, so let's turn our Bible to Luke chapter 18. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was a city in a judge. In a city there was a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So she constantly wore him out, right? And the Lord said, here's what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cries day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith in the earth? And I read that this morning, and I thought, what an odd thing to say. I mean, how random is that last sentence? Because he was talking about, you know, how if the world's judge would cave to a woman that's just wearing him out, how much more will God cave to a people that constantly pray and trust in him? And you know, this morning when me and Dennis was praying, boy, we was letting it be made known to God and to all the spirits in the atmosphere that he is our God. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of our house, the King of our family, the King of our lives. He's the one we're choosing to serve. He's the one that we trust. We trust no other God. You know, because I feel like we're at a time we have to talk like that. Because the beast is screaming loud. I mean, it's like the wolf is at the door blowing on the house, you know. Let me in. I will provide for you. You know, you're not going to trust God. You're going to trust me. The whole world is trusting me, you know. So we got to speak back to that thing. No, we're not. We trust in the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. My God is my supplier. He will take care of me. He's the one that I trust. Y'all hear what I mean? But then, after he says, God will avenge you, and then here's this random ending to this scripture. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? So I thought, okay, does that mean that, you know, people are going to get so weary in the battle, are they going to quit praying? Are they going to quit asking? Are they giving up in the battle? So I want to encourage you guys today to not give up the battle here at the end, because Jesus is coming. There's no doubt. We know it's not the pre-trib. That didn't happen. You know it's not the mid-trib. So we're going to have to go through this thing. Do we trust him to carry us through? Do we trust him to guide us and lead us through the darkness? Yes, we do. I can tell you that for the last 6 months, my faith has really been challenged. And I know if my faith has been challenged, yours has probably been too. You know, we're in a warfare like no other. We're in legal terms, we are in an unprecedented time. Never been done before. Humanity has never had to go through what we're going through. This is all brand new. This is a new realm that we're walking in right now. So the Lord is encouraging us, get back in the battle. Get back in. Get your faith going again. You know, trust in God. Because what happens is, and in this hour, we are going to have to know that we cannot trust what we see. Because when you look on, which I'm going to show you tonight on the news. I didn't get to show you yesterday, but I'm going to show you some testimonies of these people on YouTube that are talking about how YouTube is already taking over their image, their person, their voice, and making other videos out of their image and their voice. Okay? We're in serious times. Now, praise be to God forever and a day that he told us last year to get off, well, actually this year, to get off YouTube because AI is going to take it over people's channels and stuff. God already told us he was going to do this, and now he's doing it. So even though we don't understand why God's having us back out of this, pull out of this and do that, he always proves that he was right. So anyway, I will show that tonight. But can God find faith in the earth now? In verse 9, and he spoke this parable unto a certain of them who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised other people. Two men went into the temple to pray. The one is a Pharisee and the other is a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed to himself and said to himself, Oh God, I thank you. I'm not like these other people. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulteress, even like this little publican is. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I have. I'm such a good person. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because he recognized who he was before a holy God. Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other guy. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. And I looked up that word abased, what it means. Let me show you. It basically means shall be ashamed, embarrassed. Hold on here. Behave in a way that belittles or degrades someone. To be abased means to be brought low, humbled, or debased in condition, status, or heart. Often as a consequence of pride or as a lesson in humility, contrasting with being exalted by God. As seen in Jesus' teaching, whoever exalts himself, exactly what we read, will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. It signifies accepting hardship or lowliness with contentment. As Paul described in Philippians 4:2, and also refers to God bringing down the proud. Yep, that is a big key there. Then, when you look over in verse 15, and they brought unto him infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then verse 17 is the key to spiritual warfare right here. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in. So I wrote it down this morning. What does it mean as a child? So here's a few things just off the top of my head that I think he means by this. One is that a child is teachable. They are teachable. They want to learn. They're curious. They are innocent in their hearts. They don't have all this bitterness of the world that's made them hard and calloused. They have a clear mind. They're like sponges. They just want to learn. They are eager to please. You know, the Bible says that for us, guess what it is that pleases God? It's called faith. Faith pleases God. And children are willing to be disciplined. Whereas the proud, you can't tell them nothing. They know everything. They've read and done all this knowledge. They're so smart. They're truthers. They don't need to be disciplined. They know it all. But children are willing to be disciplined, willing to be corrected. Verse 18, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? Nobody is good except God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, yet you lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And I got a quick story about that one. When I was traveling the country with nothing but $20 at the time, and the whole thing was by miracles, I stopped at this church in Houston, and the lady asked me to stand up and give my testimony. She said, because my people love you so much, they love your story, your boldness, your faith, yada, yada. So she stands up there. Now, she's this very wealthy woman, very wealthy. And she had her church service in the country club, okay? And she stood up there and she goes, I just want y'all to meet this young lady. Her testimony is amazing. Her faith is amazing. The way she travels this country with nothing. I don't know how she do it. I couldn't do it because I'm just too responsible. And I was like, whoa, ouch, you know, you just said I am not a responsible person. You know, like I'm a free willie, you know, I was like, ouch. But that's what that reminds me of. Some people cannot give up their riches. They cannot think of losing anything. You know, and that's something about Christianity. We have to be willing to give God what's due to Him. You know, He gives. Everybody must know this. He gives and He takes away. It's up to God. Nothing we own is ours. We're not that good. It's all His and subject to Him on what to do with it. You know, that car, God gave me that car when I went across the country. And He had given me the previous car. Now, the car He gave me before was that car with, you know, 260,000 miles with the rod knocking and all that. And this other one, He gave me another car that had a lot of mechanical issues, but was a sports car. And I was like, what in the world at my age do I need with a sports car, you know? And, but God gave me a dream, and He showed me when He gave me the assignment of traveling across the country. He said, He showed me on a horse because I'm an Indian. So He showed me as an Indian holding the American flag and flames of fire behind me as I prayed across the border of the country. I basically prayed an entire wall of fire around the country in the spirit and for judgment. That's what that was for. But anyways, after I finished the tour, God had me give it to somebody else. And so now I'm sitting there without a car. But He sent me to Washington, D.C. And then He gave me a dream when I got up there that somebody knocked on my door and handed me keys to a car. And bam, 6 months later, the car showed up. All things we have is His. It's subject to be given away. Remember, He told me, I was on a tour one time interviewing all these ministries. And I was headed to Washington, D.C. in 2018. And I had a big TV camera at that time. With all the pomp and circumstance that comes with it. And I was interviewing this huge ministry in Knoxville, Tennessee. And the Lord said, I was in the middle of, no, it was in a dream. The Lord gave me a dream the night before I interviewed Him. And He said, after you give Him that interview, I want you to give Him your equipment. I was like, what? I needed that for Washington, D.C. in case I interviewed people there. You know what I mean? So, because I had the lights and everything that goes with the big interview. So, I was interviewing this guy, and after we got finished and was, you know, off the air and everything, I said, sir, the Lord gave me a dream and told me that I am to give you all of my TV equipment. And that man started crying. He said, I have been asking God for years to give me TV equipment. And so I had to go to D.C. with nothing. And then a year later, you know, God puts me in there. Not a year later, but I'd say about from that moment was February of 2018. I went up there in September. So from there to there. And then about January of that next year, I'm standing up in the press box with President Trump in the front lawn on the front side of the White House. And he was doing that America, Buy America Day. And he had all the, you know, the band and all of the, you know, the army and everything there. It was big pomp and circumstance. And that's when that guy leaned up in my ear and said, what kind of God do you have? I said, what do you mean? He said, I thought you said you was a Christian ministry. I said, I am. He said, then why can't God give you a camera? Whew, I turned around, looked at that man, because I knew I was talking to Satan. I had already been tormented enough being there with just you know, an iPad and some cell phones. That's all I had. And I was wrapping all four of them around one tripod because when you're up there with the FreshCore, it looks like there's all kinds of room. It's so tight you can't hardly breathe. Okay, so I'm having to squeeze everything on this little tripod. So I'm already embarrassed enough. And then here comes the devil telling me. So I turn around and said, let me tell you something, sir. I said, you see that camera right there on MSNBC? He's like, yeah. I said, I used to have a camera like that, and God told me to give it away. I said, let me tell you something. If God wants me to have a camera, I will have one. I said, God has given me cars, houses, and everything, so he will take care of me. You just watch and see. So he, this man, he looked at me, and he goes, well, I never. Yes, he did. I think he is from the Washington Post. Because I never had anybody talk to me like that. I said, well, you just watch and see what he does. So a week later, yes, it was. God got revenge. Yes, he did. I had a brand new camera. And I walked up to that man. And I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, look at this. Here's my camera. Here's your sign. Anyways, it was pretty funny. But God got revenge. All right, but you have to be, because I think he had me give that one to somebody years later. But you just have to trust in the Lord. Okay, so here we go. Who can be saved? Verse 26. Because remember before he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Enough, I just solve another story. I got invited to go to a Trump ball. I felt like Cinderella going to the ball. I mean, this is somebody that does not have the clothes and, you know, very Cinderella. And so I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you want me to go this ball, you're going to have to give me a dress because I just do not have one. I had $5. So I thought, well, I'll just go over here to Goodwill and see if they got a dress. Now, this is going to be a miracle, Lord. I'm going to go in there and see if they got a dress for $5 if you want me to go to that thing. Do y'all know I walked to the back of Goodwill and there was the prettiest dress. For $5. A maroon dress that fit me like a T. I walked up there. Yes, I did. I walked up there to the cash register and I said, let me tell you a story. And I told her, I said, I come up here with $9 in a suitcase and God has opened up the White House and opened up all these doors. And now he gave me a dress for the ball, you know. And so she was so happy to sell it to me. I go to the ball. Oh, you look so beautiful. I love that dress. Yada, yada. And I was with a bunch of women, you know, that were the Trump women. They were called Women for Trump. And I said, is God not good, man? I said, I got this thing for $5 at Goodwill. Bride, you would have thought I slapped them in the face. Them people, they just walked off. I turned them all off. So those women I was standing there talking to, they was like, don't ever do that again. I said, what do you mean? They said, you don't talk like that in places like this. I'm like, so I'm just giving God the glory, you know, that he blessed me with something so pretty for just $5. And so, anyway, that's a funny story. Okay, so moving on. Those ladies, man, they tried hard to teach me etiquette. You know, how to walk in their circle. Like, they taught me how to dress and you know, how you act around those people and politicians. I mean, I listened because I knew God was, you know, sending people to train me. And he did that. Every assignment God has sent me on across this country, he has trained me on how to do it. Like, for instance, when God told me to live with people, and you know that's hard, don't you, girls? You know, for God to have you live with people and you're having to trust them to feed you and take care of you, and you're serving them, you know, from 5 o'clock in the morning till midnight for free. And then some of them are mean to you and whatnot. I told you a lot of them stories. But God even taught me how to do that. That's how I started my ministry. He told me, he said, get up. And he would tell me what to do every day. Go in there and clean the bathtub. Make sure you leave no hairs. When you take a bath, you wipe your bathtub. Get all your hairs out of the bathtub. Go wash your dishes. Make your bed. I mean, the Holy Spirit would keep me to where I would honor the house. This is why I try to teach people, you know, when you're in ministry and you're under somebody's ministry, you need to know how to be a servant. Because if you cannot be a servant, you'll never be a leader. And that's just how it is. Because God teaches you, you know. And that's like that couple, that Montana couple. And, you know, they said they traveled the country. They gave up their ID and all this other stuff. And I'm like, you know, because I'm thinking of when God sent me, he made sure all my paperwork was in order. You know what I mean? He told me before I left on that tour, he said, I want you to take all your ministry paperwork. I want you to take your birth certificate, your passport. And, you know, because I was going to be on the road 6 months all across this country. So I had a file folder with all the proof of who I was. And I had to use it all across this country on just crazy situations. Like one time I got a hotel because my son gave me $50 when I was in Columbus, Ohio. And God had told me in a dream that he wanted me to go to Niagara Falls, New York. And I've never been there, so I booked a hotel for $50 for Niagara Falls, New York. So I get there, and it takes me through customs into Canada. Because I had no idea that Niagara Falls is split between Canada and the United States. So I get there, and that man says, man, pull over there. And pulled me over to the customs building. And they come out there, you know, with their gloves on, and they were tearing everything out of my van. And they're like, what are you coming into Canada for? I said, I don't want to be in Canada. I said, obviously, I booked a hotel right here, didn't know that it was in Canada. No wonder it was so cheap, you know. I don't know. I did. This is just where I got my hotel, in this town somewhere. And so they took away my, I had a one of those spray things to defend myself. They said, we're going to take your weapon. I said, okay. I mean, somebody gave that to me just so I could protect myself out there, but I've never used it, so go ahead. I don't care. So I ended up staying there in Canada, but I had to have my passport. You see what I mean? So then I'm hearing this couple saying this, and I'm like, I don't know, you know. And then I have advised other people, you know, about when they stay with people and stuff, I tell them, you know, when you stay with people, listen to the Holy Spirit. You honor that house. You don't just come in a house and mow it down. You know, y'all are going to do the way I want to live, and you got to be quiet because I like it quiet during these hours and yada, yada, you know. You don't do that when you're in other people's houses. You honor their house and their rules, you know, and you adapt. You're there as a visitor, you know, type of deal. Okay, so let's go back over here to the Word. Let's see. Okay, so we're going back to the story of the rich man through the eye of the camel. Through the camel to go through the needle's eye. And verse 26, and they heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And that is true. God is, see, that's the thing that I tell people that are homeless. I tell them, see, this is where it's different being homeless when you have Jesus. Because when you have Jesus, there's always hope. I saw a sign, and I even took a picture of it, of that rally that I told you they had yesterday with President Trump and him bragging about the economy and everything to all his people. There was a sign that one of them people had made that said, Trump gives us hope. And I thought, is that not the saddest thing? You know, because Jesus is our hope. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But it's just really sad. But when you're homeless, or no matter what situation you're going through, when you have Jesus, you have hope because he's always there. He's always watching. He's paying attention to what's happening to you. He's leading and he's guiding you. You know, you're not alone, but if you're operating under demons because you refuse to submit to God, and which we have family members like that, they refuse to submit, but they're in constant torture daily by demons. You know, and it's really sad, but whose God are you going to serve? You know, if you tell them, you know, God doesn't want you to live like that. You know, he wants you to have peace in your heart and peace in your mind. But you got to surrender, you know. Some people just feel trapped. They have believed the lie of the devil. You know, which most people, man, they need to hear that sermon I wrote, The Power of Agreement. Because if they believe like this one I'm talking about, the devil has convinced her that the predestination doctrine, and she is predestined to go to hell, so there's no more hope for her. Which I've been telling her that's a lie from the pits of hell. See, as long as she believes that, she's going to be tortured. Because the devil has that key. It's like a key for torture. Because he has that open door. He's a legalist. So if you keep that door open, he has a legal right to torture you there. You see what I mean? But we pray for her. We still love her. You know, we try to help her so that hopefully one day she'll wake up. You know what I mean? Okay, so verse 28 gave me so much peace this morning. Because it says, then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed you. And Jesus said to them, verily I say to you, there is no man that has left his house, the parents, the brethren, wife, and children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who will not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. I was like, thank you, Lord. I receive that. I receive it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, now at the time when I did give up everything and left everything for the call, persecution, I can't even explain to you how bad it was. Because at that time, you know, 13 years ago, is when I had just graduated with my master's degree. Not the top of my class, but pretty close. And, you know, had just got back from London and all this stuff. Tried to get a job, but God shut every door. And I tried 5 months being self-determined. And he finally shut me down and said, listen, you get on your face and get right with me or else. And so I knew what he meant. I had to give it all up, give my, because, you know, I had worked for a lawyer the year before, and I was driving a brand new car and living at large, you know. And he told me, give it up and follow me. And so I got on my face, I surrendered and said, yes, Lord, you can have it all, whatever you want. I lost everything. And I started just obeying God day by day. He'd tell me, go here, do this, do this. And then that whole summer, because that was in May of 2013, that whole summer, all he did besides having me pray for people on their deathbed was repent, repent, repent. He told me no radio, no television, listen to nobody but me. And he detoxed me for 3 years and had me listen to only the people that he put me with and him. And he gave me a lot of dreams, and I have all of it documented, all of it. All my dreams, my words from God, scriptures, everything is documented. Yes, it is. And but anyways, he told me, you listen to me. And what he ended up doing through that summer of repentance was he had me deal with my heart. I had to deal with that spirit of perversion and had to repent for all that pervertedness in my heart. And God healed me that day at the river. I told y'all that story. And had me go to people and ask them to forgive me. Had me go on my social media and ask the whole world to forgive me. That was very humbling. You know, so that's why I say about Kanye West, why I knew he was a fake. Because God, when he saves you for real, he is going to have you address your idols. He's not going to have you still making money on your idols. He's going to have you shut that mess down. He's not going to partner with it, you know. Anyway, so let's continue here. Then he took unto him 12 and said unto them, verse 31, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. In other words, Jesus knows he's fixing to die. And this reminded me when I read this morning about Paul. You know, Paul knew that he was going to be killed in Jerusalem, and he told his people. And that's where they said, well, the will of the Lord be done. And that's where our ministry, that's kind of our motto, the will of the Lord be done. Whatever God's will is what's to be done. You know, so Jesus is talking to all his people and telling them, you know, when we go to Jerusalem, I'm going to fulfill the prophecy. And verse 32, he shall be delivered to the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spit on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. So he's telling them what's about to happen. Now, see, this is what I was telling you guys. See, God loves those that he warns. Like we have learned over the past few years when he warns us about things and we obey him. And then later, bam, we see why. He warns us so that we can dodge things or be prepared to go through things. And that's what he's telling them for. He already has settled it in his heart that he was going to give his life for his bride. But he's telling his people so that they can be ready, you see. But they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things that were spoken. Isn't that sad? They had no idea what he was talking about. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Now remember, this is Jesus on his way to his death, okay? And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What is it that I shall do to you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. There we go with that faith again, huh? And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Amen. So that's my encouraging word for you guys this morning in the spiritual warfare, in our spiritual warfare series. Trust in the Lord. Don't lose your faith. Be as a child. And be willing to be changing. You know, some people like Dennis. Okay, Dennis's life is a lot different than mine was. When he was growing up, he had a very secure life. Totally different from mine. Same parents, same house, same community. His whole entire life, you know. Parents married till they died. The father died. The mama's still alive. But still married. No drama growing up. Just a good, normal life. But then he married somebody that's like completely opposite. You know, divorced when they were young, yada, yada. But one thing about it is hard for Dennis is change. He's very stable. He's just a stable man, you know. And so he's been really good to be with me with all the change happening. And but we have to be willing to change. We have to be willing to move with God, to mold with God. He's learning, you know. He's learning because he's seeing the benefits of it. You know, like God telling us, downsize, do this, you know. Get out of the metaverse, yada, yada. And we go through all this stuff. It's hard, it's strenuous, it's troublesome, you know. But in the end, it's worth it, you know. So be willing to change. Be willing to move, you know, with God. Be willing to bless others. Be willing to pray for other people, you know. Whenever situations come to you, at least pray about it. I mean, if you don't have what they need, pray for them, you know. The kingdom of God, when people approach you, the kingdom of God is coming to you. You know who is the solution. Not that you have the solution, but you know who knows these people and why they're in the predicament they are. He knows the circumstances they're going through and what it's going to take to get them to bend the knee. Now, see, God told me one time, in a dream about one of my kids. Something that would happen to them in the future was going to be what was going to be a catalyst of change type of deal in their life. Years later, it happened. I get the phone call. And they're telling me this terrible news about what happened. You know what my response was? I already knew it. Let's trust in the Lord. The Lord's trying to woo them back to him. But see, God already told me years ago it was going to happen. So that when it happened, I wouldn't freak out. I would know God's hand is moving. We have to trust. We have to be willing to move. We have to be willing to, you know, let God be God. You know what I mean? And he loves those that he warns, but we have to be willing to listen to him and to, you know, do what he says type of deal. So that let me go ahead and pray for everybody. Lord, I just pray for the bride. Lord, that she would have a heart to move and be molded by you, Lord, and to be able to hear your voice, because your word says in the end, let them hear what the Spirit is saying unto them. And I pray that their ears are open today, God. I pray that over their hearts, that if they have bitterness in their hearts or hurt over the past, over things that happened, or even the way their life has been a disappointment to them, it didn't turn out the way they wanted it to, or things happened that really put a big clamp on their life, that they would give that disappointment to you today, Lord, that they would lay it down and say, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to let that hold me back, because your word says to lay it down, those things that so easily beset us from you, Lord. We're laying it down, asking you to forgive us for our role in this, and I forgive all those that had a role in this as well. And I am moving forward after today. I'm letting it go. It is staying behind me. Because I got a job to do. We don't have any time left. And I need you, Lord, to take that burden off my shoulders so that I can move forward and be the man or woman of God that you have called me to be in this hour. So I got to be rid of this. So I choose to let you have it back. And Lord, I thank you for healing all these people from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Whatever issues they may have in their body, heal that right now in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that you help them to be free of all offense, that they would choose today to forgive those people and to forgive themselves, and that they would be able to have hearts as children, to be able to be a learned heart, a teachable heart, a disciplined heart, and a heart that wants to be like a sponge and just learn from you, Lord. And I pray, God, that you help them all to be strengthened in their faith. It is the faith that pleases you, Lord. And I know all these people listening want to please you. So we just thank you and give you praise, for you are glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys.